With the first pick overall, the New Jersey Devils are proud to select from the U.S. program, Jack Hughes.
Let's go, baby! Let's go! Oh,
lays it across, Martin, and drives!
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, good.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back after a one-year hiatus. Recording tonight, we have a special guest who will be joining us momentarily. Kind of an honor for both Alex and I, considering when we started this podcast, it was really only just Alex, Jim, and I just kind of talking over the Devils and Jersey Joe, who's his own podcast for Heads Up Hockey. But joining us momentarily, we'll have Ryan Novozinski from NJ.com, new Devils reporter and writer for NJ.com/The Star Ledger, however you want to call it. So, you know, Alex and I are really looking forward to this one. So this is huge for us as we kind of where we started. And to get a guy like Ryan on, it's hard enough to get a hold of a Devils reporter these days to join a podcast. So Alex, what do you think? You looking forward to this?
Yeah, this is, can't say anything otherwise. Honestly, this is really cool. So yeah, I'm looking forward to talking. You know, we're two weeks away from the draft just about. So it's plenty to talk about.
There yeah. Certainly is, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
No. Oh, hey, how's it going, Ryan?
How you guys doing?
Good, you? Good.
Not bad. Can you guys hear me well?
Yeah.
Perfect.
So, Ryan, we want to thank you for, you know, taking the position of being the Devils writer for NJ.com. I know it's been hard for us fans lately because there hasn't really been a, like, for
writing about the Devils, I think, since...
I think it was since Rich Scher left there, they kind of just stopped doing it and whatnot. So we want to thank you for
Chris Ryan, actually.
It was Chris Ryan. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
It was Chris Ryan. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. My apologies. So yeah, you know, we got a lot to break down here. So I guess we'll just kind of dive into it. You know, I'll ask you a couple questions and then Alex will ask you a couple and then so on and so forth. And if you have anything you want to share with us, and feel free.
Absolutely, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me on. This would be awesome.
So, Ryan, you know, there's been a lot of about the Devils leading up to the draft in this offseason. Clearly, they're in the rumor mill a lot, so I think it's safe to say we can expect an active offseason. But to start, I know you quoted the tweet or whatever it was. I think it was Kevin Weeks and Frank Cervalli. But is there any truth to these Jesper Bratt trade rumors? Like, and if he does sign, how long do you think he will sign for? And like, how much do you think he'll end up getting on an AAV?
Right. So to address a couple of things, first and foremost, I just want to say that anything I say like right now is based purely on like, you know, some of these questions has to be a little bit of speculation. The other parts I can answer based on what I know. So just to clear some things up, in terms of the Cervalli thing, the Cervalli report is false. Like the Devils and Jesper Bratt's camp have been talking. Like, I don't know what, and that's based on me talking to both the Devils and Jesper Bratt's agents. So I don't know what Jesper Bratt's camp would gain out of saying that, you know, that it's not that they're talking when they're not. They're definitely talking, and he even gave me the specifics. He said there was one meeting in at the Prudential Center a couple weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago now, and then there was one or a couple, not just one. There's a couple over the phone. So that's just to address the Cervalli thing. That was just false. to address Kevin Weeks, the Kevin Weeks thing is interesting because a lot of people have been interpreting it in different ways. Like some people have been saying, like, people would call me a liar, and I think that's wrong, you know, because, you know, while the significant portion of the talks, the Devils basically addressed that. And when I asked them about that, when Kevin Weeks put that out, they basically said that these things take time, and you know, the conversations about Jesper Bratt are ongoing. Now, to the point about the trade talk, I have not I've not heard back from anyone until when I've tried to check in on the whether teams are interested. This, I'm sure teams are interested in the same way that teams are, and I'm not comparing these two players. Let me just preface it by saying that in the same way that teams are interested in trading for Connor McDavid, you know, like it's just a natural thing. You know, you get a guy who sort of, you know, blew up this year and became a 70 point, you know, per season kind of guy. Whether that will, you know, continue to be the case for Jesper Bratt kind of remains to be seen. But, you know, this year he had just a blow up, and, you know, this is a 6-round draft pick too. And, you know, this is a guy that I think maybe the Devils right now, again, this is pure speculation, but I think the Devils might be thinking to themselves like, we need to get this deal done. Fitzgerald has said it too, that he thinks Jesper Bratt is a huge part of the future here. So I think that they're just weighing going in with different offers and stuff like that. And that's sort of what's been happening. And Friedman said it too on his podcast. He said that, you know, the last negotiations with Jesper Bratt were long, and that's before Jesper Bratt became Jesper Bratt, so to speak. So, you know, I think it's just going to be a complicated situation. I think for any player that goes from scoring 35 points per year to going, you know, skyrocketing to, you know, in the 70s, I think any player would have a tough negotiation after that. They have to see, you know, is this going to be a consistent thing? Do the pros outweigh the cons here? I think that's sort of what we're dealing with right now in terms of the Jesper Bratt contract situation. But talks are ongoing.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, Alex and I have touched on this. We've kind of gone back and forth on it. Like, do they, like you just said, do they give him a bridge deal and see if he can continue at that 70-point pace, or do they just lock him up now in case he does have another season like this and it would only have value? But we also are curious. You also had mentioned that the Devils were talking with PK Subban. So my question for you is, will PK Subban end up returning to the Devils in, say, like a third pairing role? Because I think at this point in his career, he's not a top four defenseman like he used to be.
Yeah, he's definitely not. He's definitely not that. But what they get in PK Subban is they get somebody that can be a good depth piece. I think a lot of this depends on what Fitzgerald's vision is for next year. You know, does he think that this team can be, you know, go from the bottom of the standings to, I'm not saying the top, but, you know, a seventh seed in the playoffs, an eighth seed, something like that. Does he like, I think he needs to weigh the timetables here. I think that's sort of what the conversation was around the trade deadline. I think, you know, they were just weighing in on the options and seeing like, okay, is this going to be a thing where, you know, we want to think about our future or stuff like that. And I think they were trying to, you know, maybe dump him and try to get some value off that. And that's sort of where the reporting from LeBron came around the trade deadline. But now it seems, you know, from his agent, and I asked his agent straight up about, you know, what, I asked him two-pronged question. I said, you know, what is PK Subban doing? Like what's some updates on him? Is he considering coming back to the Devils? Is he considering, you know, does he plan to go, you know, in other ways in free agency? And, you know, they're going to meet in the next couple of weeks and get I'll definitely have an update for you guys on that around that time. But, you know, the vibe that I get right now is this is going to be, as you guys mentioned, this is going to be a huge crossroads of an offseason. You know, we're going to see more direction stuff in terms of the Devils. What do they want to do? I mean, you know, last season before the awful season happened, they signed Dougie Hamilton. So that was probably the top free agent in the offseason last year, you know, so they're one of the top, at least signing key players, you know, and a huge part of, as we've seen in some of these championship teams, is key depth players too. And I think Subban's mix of you know, I wouldn't say a winning pedigree because, you know, he hasn't won a cup, but I would say, you know, his experience in the league meshes with some of these players. It has been phenomenal. Like he said in his exit press conference that, you know, the players were making their sales pitches to get him back, you know? So I think, and, you know, he's been hanging out with Jack Hughes this offseason. He's been thanking the Devils all left and right. I think that Subban is going to be in a huge crossroads this offseason, like the Devils will. And this is uncharted territory for him. He's, you know, facing unrestricted free agency for the first time in his career. So he's going to adjust to this, and I think he's going to make a decision relatively probably quickly in the offseason. That's just speculation, but that's just, you know, sort of what the vibe that I got. And I think you're going to see PK Subban. If I were a betting man right now, I don't really like to speculate on whether he'll sign or not, because I don't want to get in trouble for that. But I will say that, you know, I think that there at least is a shot.
That's interesting. You know, I just seeing what Subban has done for the Devils, I guess, even though they haven't been good in the last 3 years, he seems well-liked in the organization, so it would make sense to bring him back as, like, a veteran presence. You know, as far as re-signing Bratt and Subban, that's a bit of in-house work, but everyone knows that the Devils will probably have to go outside for some goalie help. Assuming they retain Mackenzie Blackwood for next season, who do you think they acquire as a goalie, and how likely is it it's Ville Husso or Jack Campbell?
Yeah, so I'm team Ville Husso, personally. Like, I think that would be a calculated, but, you know, it also would be a risk. I think it'd be a calculated risk, but it would definitely be a risk for sure. Because, you know, you just don't know what kind of guy you're going to get there, because, you know, he's the backup in St. Louis. So I think, you know, you kind of go in there and you weigh some of the cons there. The one dark horse candidate that I think would be fascinating, I don't know if they'll pull the trigger on this. I don't even know if they'll entertain it. But I think if they were to look at Marc-Andre Fleury, I think it would just be, you know, one of those guys with, as I said before, like a winning pedigree, a guy that, you know, has experience, but you also get the age factor there. So you never know what they're going to do with that. I'm very fascinated to see what happens with Campbell. I'm very fascinated to see what happens with the Devils this offseason, especially that goaltender situation thing. That is at the forefront of my mind. And if it's at the forefront of my mind, it should freaking be at the forefront of Tom Fitzgerald's mind too. He should be thinking about that in his sleep. Think about who you're, because quite honestly, guys, like, 7 goaltenders last year they shuffled through, and a lot of them were just trash. You gotta do something there, you know. You really, really gotta make that your top offseason priority. I know the number 2 pick is exciting. These you know, free agent just forwards are exciting. I mean, heck, Johnny Hockey, New Jersey guy, is a free agent this offseason. But even if they were to sign like a Johnny Hockey, man, you gotta. I implore all Devils fans to do this. Even if somebody at the likes of Johnny Hockey, you still gotta, you know, keep pressing on this team, as I will, about what the heck he's doing about that goaltender situation, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the Devils last season, he just goaltending and killed them in so many games.
Yeah.
It has to be priority number one. I know Shayna Goldman, who does some, you know, Devils and Rangers coverage at The Athletic, she said it cost them about like 11, goaltending cost them about like 11 wins last season if they just had average goaltending. That's just average, of course. So I like the idea of Husso too. I think he's a bit risky, like you said, but the upside is there. He's only 27 years old, so he's maybe a bit of a more long-term fit. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. You know, I guess next up we got to talk about, you mentioned it just before, is the second overall pick. We've seen some absolutely wild trade proposals about the second overall pick on Twitter. I don't know, since they won the draft lottery. Do you think the Devils will keep or trade it? And if they trade it, who do you think it will be for? And if they keep it, who do you think they'll draft?
This is a good one. So again, speculation, because I have not yet been able to ask the higher ups of the Devils about what they're going to do with the second overall pick. I'm going to ask very soon in the next coming weeks here. However, my gut feeling right now is that they keep it. I think they pick Slavkovsky. I want them to pick Slavkovsky personally. I don't know, like, in terms of what they could get for that second overall pick, all I'll say to that is, who the heck would be available right now? Number one. Number two, next year's draft is much stronger. So I think that if teams were to want a pick from a bad team, I think they would want one for next year in order to acquire a superstar. I just don't know what that number two pick gets you. However, what I will say conversely to that is that if they are to trade that number two pick, it better be a freaking great trade offer. I tell you what, it better be a great haul. Like, I'm talking, to use a basketball example, if they were to trade that pick, it better be like an Oklahoma City Thunder level haul for Paul George. Like, it better be phenomenal. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Like, like I said, at this point, gut feeling, I think they keep the pick. I think they pick Slavkovsky. But there's a lot of interesting things there, because, you know, even from the get-go, like Tom Fitzgerald, like, you know, he said he was open to trading it, but even before they won the lottery, that number two. But then, you know, they're going in and he's kind of like doubling down on it. So it appears that way, at least. So I don't know. Like, I would say that overall, I think they keep it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they're going to keep it too. The last time the second overall pick was traded was the Alexei Yashin trade like 20 years ago.
Yeah, so. I saw that stat the other day. I loved that.
Yeah, so like, it's, you know, a pick that high getting traded, it's quite rare.
It'd be a bold move, definitely, though. I will say that it would be a bold move for them to do it. It would be one of those things that, you know, it would definitely garner some head scratches. But, you know, if they were to get that and they were to, you know, trade it for someone who is a guaranteed kind of guy, like, I mean, you know, wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but, you know, it just depends on what Fitzgerald's vision is for this team, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So kind of tying into that second overall pick, like keeping it, I'm also team Slavkovsky. I know Alex is he's back and forth here and there, but he's more Logan Cooley. And I get it too. Cause like, the Devils can't, like, it all depends how the player develops, but fans also have to look at it. Like, even if both of them develop the way they should, they can't really lose, because they're feeling like they're getting a big winger for Jack Hughes or Nico Hischier, or they're taking the Pittsburgh model per se and building like that 1-2-3 down the middle, right? So.
Yeah, for sure. He would be like Jordan Staal was to the Penguins when they took him after Crosby, or Logan Cooley, I should say, would be like Jordan Staal, you know, after they selected Crosby and Malkin. So, yeah, you can't lose.
Exactly. You know, and that's some of the talks that I've had with various people, like, that are, you know, not only connected to the Devils, but Devils alumni, Devils, you know, just like historic Devils figures, is that this is a freaking great problem to have. You know, like obviously there's a lot of problems that need to be addressed in this organization. But to get that number, to leapfrog from freaking five to two, was it five they were projected to get?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was five. I couldn't remember if it was five or four. But to do that and then, you know, have all these different hypotheticals, and to have Fitzgerald, you know, throwing a lot of these smoke screens in there, or they end up being, you know, coming into fruition, it remains to be seen. But, you know, it's just a good, good problem to have. And I know that's a cliche, but it just is.
Yeah.
So the Devils, obviously, they're going to have to, like, add some pieces this offseason. If they were to move it, is it Alex DeBrincat, a target there? Or is a Kevin Fiala trade more likely? Like, what would it cost? I know DeBrincat would be, Chicago's asking for a haul. But I think Kevin Fiala would be like the more likely target. And we know he has chemistry on Nico Hischier's wing, as we saw at the World Championships. Would the Devils be looking at like moving their second round pick plus like a high level prospect? Or are we looking at like next year's first that's like top five or top 10 protected? Because I know I'd, as much as Kevin Fiala had 85 points this year and a good year, I don't know if I want, I don't want to give up the second overall pick for Kevin Fiala. DeBrinket, you know, maybe, yeah, but where do you kind of stand on that, Ryan?
If I'm Tom Fitzgerald, I am definitely not trading number two for Fiala. I'm not even trading my top two prospects for Fiala, like at all. I'm going, you know, a good, decent, solid prospect. Who that is, I wouldn't be able to say. You know, and that's not based on a lack of knowledge. It's just based on, like, there's a lot of factors that would go into a Fiala thing. But I think, you know, and the reason I say that is because I think if New Jersey were Minnesota, they can leverage them a little bit. You know, Minnesota has a horrible, horrible cap situation right now. Just horrible. And they need, you know, they're a talented team, I think, you know, and they obviously made the playoffs this year. So if they need someone that could get, you know, them with a similar amount of consistency in, you know, within the next couple of years, at least, obviously a prospect wouldn't really give you that. But I think the Devils would be able to get them and sort of just really leverage them in this situation, because they could, you know, give them someone who's maybe not a top three, top five prospect, but they can probably get someone that's, you know, in the lower ends of the, you know, I would say maybe like the number five prospect, whoever that is right now. You know, I know the Athletic ranks them sometimes, so I wouldn't really be able to say who that is statistically right now. But, you know, I really do think that with Minnesota's cap situation and with, you know, the assets New Jersey has mixed in with the cap space that they have, I think that New Jersey is someone that would be a destination for Kevin Fiala, so to speak. And I do think that, you know, like, I think someone reported, I forget, it was someone at the Athletic, though, I think it was their Kings writer, said that they're the front runners right now. You know, that's what the people around the league think.
Yeah, it was Lisa Dillman. She's the Kings writer for the Athletic. She was the one who reported it. Yeah, I pretty much agree with what you said about Fiala and the Wild's cap situation. I mean, you know, they have to trade him. Everyone knows it. Everyone knows their cap situation. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
So going back, Ryan, to the kind of Johnny Gaudreau talk there just for a second. I know, Alex, you might know better than I do who mentioned it. I think it was a Flames writer for the Athletic first.
Yes, Salvian. Yep.
Yeah. And then Pierre LeBrun also mentioned it on an insider trading segment, I think.
Yep.
Maybe a week ago. Or he said it on TSN like a week ago, I think, something like that. And
tonight, Darren Dreger recently put that they're 4 weeks away and it's looking like Johnny Gaudreau will probably end up testing the market. Now, Calgary's still going to keep trying here, but. And then LeBrun kind of said, like, they're going to have to pivot at the draft. So look for some clarity come the draft. But there has been a ton of smoke around Johnny Gaudreau in New Jersey. Kind of after that article come out with the Athletic, and then LeBrun kind of just took it to another level and it's kind of just taken off. So do you see a scenario where Fitzgerald and his staff are one of the finalists for his services? Or do you think, you know, the Devils will kind of go in a different direction there?
If the Dougie Hamilton deal taught New Jersey fans anything, it's that, you know, they're going to at least, that is that Fitzgerald is at least going, you know, to be in the conversation for things like this, you know, especially for a guy like Gaudreau, especially for the connections of Gaudreau. And I know he grew up a Flyers fan. I know that. But I think, you know, the New Jersey connection there, I think the aspect that there were some people saying that he might want to be closer to home. I forget who said that, but somebody did say that online. You know, there was some speculation there, or whether that was speculation or reporting there. And you know, I think New Jersey with their cap situation, I think they could probably get something done there with Gaudreau. And, you know, I think, you know, if nothing else, even if New Jersey sucked next year, I think it would at least put butts in seats. I definitely.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think even if if you got Jack Hughes and Johnny Gaudreau in your roster, I don't know how, even with goaltending, there's going to be games where you could just flat out outscore teams with those two guys in your lineup. Yeah, so it'd be entertaining at the very least, that's for sure. Kind of building off that question from Jake, do you think it's more likely that Fitzgerald pays, you know, someone like Gaudreau, let's say, I don't know, probably, let's say around $10 million a year? Do you think he's more likely to use his cap space like that, or he's more likely maybe to sign someone like Fiala for $7 million a year and then just kind of fill out the depth with other signings? Because if they sign Gaudreau with, you know, a Jesper Bratt extension and getting a goalie, you know, it gets a little tight if you want to maybe fill out your depth through free agency. So which do you think is more likely?
That's very true. And I think, you know, from everything that I've gathered of like that, and you know, I think Fitzgerald too has been pretty open about this. They need to fix that goaltending situation, you know.
Yeah,
and I think something will happen there. And I think, you know, in terms of Johnny's deadline with Calgary, I think that's going to be interesting, because now it's sounding like they want an answer by the draft. So, you know, there's going to be things heating up in the next couple weeks here, and I can't wait for that. It's going to be, I'm very busy. But, you know, I would say that, you know, New Jersey, they need to figure out this goaltending situation first. And then they figure out what else they could do after. If they're comfortable with who they get, hypothetically, theoretically, as a goaltender, then they can start worrying about everything else. You know, getting a superstar like Gaudreau, getting all these depth guys that they desperately need. They need some wing depth for sure. So I think, you know, they get that done. And then, you know, Fitzgerald, you get the goalie figured out. Have fun this offseason, especially with all that cap space. So, you know, and definitely the Jesper Bratt situation as well. Like, you know, get all these things ironed out. And there's, luckily, you know, there's some deadlines on these. So we will hopefully know, you know, very soon about all of these different situations. So that's my goal. I really, if I'm Tom Fitzgerald right now, I'm figuring that out. Then I'm figuring out everything else, and I can just have fun this offseason. He can go on a vacation, man. You know, like if he just figures out who the heck the goaltender is going to be next year.
Yeah, there's no doubt that goaltending is priority number one. I think Pierre LeBrun, you know how he does his rumblings articles every once in a while for The Athletic. He had mentioned it even a while back. I think like when the season was still going on. That goaltending is priority number one for the Devils this offseason. There's also one other thing that I want to touch on about Jesper Bratt. Jeff Merrick mentioned it on one of the more recent 32 Thoughts episodes, maybe over the weekend, that he wasn't suggesting it's going to happen. I think he was just kind of trying to have a little bit of fun and saying, what if this does happen? But what are the chances of an offer sheet coming towards Jesper Bratt? Is that likely at all, or... I mean, he has to sign it, of course, but do you think a team will offer sheet him?
I'm more in Elliott's camp there, where I don't think that's going to end up happening, but it is an interesting possibility. It's just so rare in the NHL, you know. And I know that from what I can tell you guys, what I've gathered about Jesper Bratt's agent, he's pretty tough, you know, and he's, you know, he's experienced. I think he's been an agent for 23 years now. And he's someone that's going to try to get the best possible deal. That's why, you know, the last negotiation was such a headache for the Devils, and I'm sure for him too. But, you know, I think he's going to try to get whatever's the best deal possible is done. I don't see an offer sheet happening there. Yeah. I really don't. Just because of the rarity of it, you know?
Yeah, and plus the Devils have, it's like Elliot Friedman said on that podcast too, the Devils have so much cap space that, like, you'd have to put out an insane offer sheet for them to not match it, so... one other thing I got to is, obviously, as at this point, it looks like Lindy Ruff will be sticking around as head coach, next season, but is there any, word around, you know, possible assistants that could, join his staff, for next season?
You know, I've definitely looked into this. What I'll say about that is that the market and the, I guess like the way you could define who could be an assistant coach in the NHL is very hard to figure out. Evidently, when I tried to do some digging into it, like it could be anyone from a former player to, you know, like just someone that's on the staff already, from someone that's on another staff already. It's a very vague, wide market. So any attempts that I've tried to dig into this at all have failed. But, you know, I will say I think the Devils have kind of kicked butt in terms of their other hirings this offseason. I think Megan Dugan, promoting her was really good. I think hiring Angus Mugford in the player development department too. I think, you know, the department is thriving right now. I think they're, you know, getting their people figured out up there. So, you know, if that trickles down to the assistant coaching hire, you know, hopefully for the sake of Devils fans, I think those two are pretty much rock stars and are going to be rock stars in this league. We'll see what happens with that. But, you know, it just does not seem to translate from the player development department to the coaching department. Because I agree with you. I think Lindy Ruff is not a great coach. And I'm very curious to see when I ask Fitzgerald and the rest of the Devils camp what they think about him so far.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, with the assistant thing, because I'm like, you're watching what's happening with the Florida Panthers right now, and they're interviewing other coaches to maybe replace Andrew Brunette. And he has a year left on his deal with Florida. So, like, would he want to be going – would he want to return to Florida as a demoted assistant? Like,
that would be odd. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's really weird. So, like, if they hire someone to replace him, I feel like he could just resign and – try to take another assistant job somewhere else. I feel like, you know, that would probably be something the Devils look at. But yeah, like you said, it's trying to figure out who could even be like a candidate to be an assistant coach is so difficult.
What I'll say is this, you know, they need someone that is a expert, a guru in power plays. That's what they need.
That's why I was thinking Andrew Brunette, because I'm pretty sure he was. Yeah, I think he was their forward, the Panthers forward and this power play coach. I'm not 100% positive on that. I'd have to look it up. And, you know, if things like go south with Lindy Ruff to start next season too, you want someone who could be able to take over as an interim coach. And like Andrew Brunette, I mean, he's a Jack Adams finalist. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with Brunette in Florida. It's just a weird situation.
You know, if you're a Devils fan, you're jumping for joy for that.
Yeah, of course. That's why I've been keeping an eye on it. I find it weird that the Panthers are interviewing other people since he was a Jack Adams finalist. But, you know, it's like Elliot Friedman said on 32 Thoughts, it's a cutthroat business.
It's a cutthroat business, especially in the hockey world, because I feel like these coaches just get passed along. It's a revolving door in the NHL. There's no job security. Even if you win a cup, I feel like, you know, the next year you could be gone. Like, it's just a weird thing.
Yeah, I mean, look at Dominic Ducharme. I mean, he was in the Stanley Cup final last year, and he was out.
Sure.
Like, what, in the middle of the season? Was that after that Devils game where they won, like, 7-1, he was out.
Oh, my gosh, that's right.
Yeah, so.
Ryan, going back to the goaltending thing for, like, just a quick second before we let you go. Do you think Mackenzie Blackwood is back next year? And if so, like, are they going to obviously want him to start, or are they trying to try and look at, like, a Fleury or a Huso Campbell, like you touched on? But, like, also, what's the plan with, like, Jonathan Bernier there? Like, is he just – it doesn't sound like he's, like, going to be ready for the start of the season. And then, like, another question just quickly. What's the deal with, like, Pavel Zacha, like, or Ty Smith? Like, are they most likely – on the roster next year, or are we probably going to see them, you know, move this summer in a potential trade?
So I will say this, all of these players, I've tried to reach out to their camps to see, you know, to get confirmation on them. I have not heard back. I've even tried to reach out to Blackwood's camp just to, you know, gauge his thoughts and their thoughts on the Devils and, you know, what the current situation is with that. I would say, you know, with Blackwood, it's to keep him on the roster wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, because he is young. He dealt with a lot last year, obviously, and, you know, a lot of that was self-inflicted on his own end. But you know, I'm sure there was also some struggles that he dealt with internally there, and you know, if he gets that ironed out and he figures out like how to be a good goalie, a good promising goalie again, I think keeping him on the roster is not the worst thing. I really do think, and I'll say it again, I think emphasis wise they need to get someone else in that goalie room, so to speak, just to, you know, shake things up a little bit and have someone be the starter instead of Mackenzie Blackwood. I really do. And, you know, maybe if that's Fleury going into the season, maybe the age really starts showing, you know, and Mackenzie Blackwood gets that, you know, fire in him, and he's like, maybe, yeah, I'm going to go back to being good again. And I think that, and, you know, just all the other factors there, just figure out the goalie situation and get someone else in the room, shake things up a little bit. And, you know, to Bernier too, I like I said, have not heard back from him, his camp. I don't know what's going on with him. And I also hate to shut this question down too, but again, with Zacha too, I just perfectly honest with you, I do not know right now.
Okay. So Alex, clearly, right, like we've got a lot of stuff we can, you know, feed off of for the next couple weeks to keep us interested and stuff like that for the Devils. And sounds like they're going to have an active off season. So, Ryan, once again, thanks for taking time out of here. We know you're up free agency. Before we let you go, maybe just want to share with the people, like, you know, where they can find you on Twitter and have any upcoming, like, articles that we can be on the lookout for and whatnot.
Yes, so there's a couple things. First and foremost, Twitter. You can follow me at RyanNovo62, RyanNovo62. Follow my work at NJ.com, NJ.com/Devils. You can subscribe to NJ.com. It would be a big... And, yeah, just, you know, in terms of articles, I don't really like to tease them sometimes, but I could tell you that I will have one either tonight or tomorrow, and it's going to be really fun, and you guys are going to enjoy the heck out of it. It's going to be nice.
A little teaser right there. I like it.
Not much of a tease, but, you know, I was thinking about giving some stuff away, but I was like, I can't really do that.
Yeah, no, a little fun. So I got me intrigued at least.
It's kind of juicy. I'll tell you that. It's kind of juicy.
Oh, all right.
Okay. All right. It's about the draft.
Oh, all right. I have to keep an eye out for that.
All right, Ryan. So thanks for joining us, and we'll be in touch, and we'll try and get you find time to get you on again here close to the draft and leading into free agency.
Thank you guys so much. I really do appreciate this, and I come on anytime.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, you too.
Thank you, you too. Well, Alex, there's a lot to, you know, think about here. And for the next couple weeks, you know, it's you can tell he's trying to get a hold of, like, the players' agents and all that kind of stuff. But he did drop some interesting tidbits and whatnot in regards to the Devils that we can keep an eye on here in the next couple weeks. And it was kind of cool that he kind of teased us a bit there about what he has coming up with an article for the draft. So
yeah, I mean, you know, obviously with the draft coming 2 weeks from now, anything draft related will be fun. He had some good information on Jesper Bratt and, you know, that whole situation as well. You know, a little update on PK Subban. It was interesting to hear his thoughts on who the Devils might acquire as a goaltender too. So definitely a lot of stuff that should be happening over the next 2 to 3 weeks, especially as once the Stanley Cup ends. I know the league doesn't really like it when trades, you know, happen during the Stanley Cup. So once that series is over, things should start to get really, really busy at the end of next week.
Yeah, I think, like, the GMs are obviously talking through.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Groundwork. Like, I've always said that, like, just because your team doesn't make a move at the deadline, but the GM will say in his, like, media availability after, you know, I talked to some GMs, I tried to make some hockey trades, but it just didn't work. Now, we do hear the same line over and over and over again, but they also are laying groundwork for potential bigger moves come the summertime, come close to the draft and during free agency or leading up to it. So
yeah,
definitely an exciting episode for us. Floor is yours, buddy. Do you have any articles coming out soon? I know you said you're in the midst of one. So
yeah, I'm actually in the midst of two, one tomorrow. And one, probably Thursday. I should be able to get it done for Thursday. So Yeah, definitely have two. And then, you know, whatever rumors pop up, if something pops up, I try to put something together quickly. But definitely will have two, at least two to end this week. So keep an eye out for that.
All right. Alex, thanks for coming on again, as always.
Yeah, no problem.
Alex writes for the Hockey Writers. You can follow him on Twitter, and he will, as the floor now, mention his Twitter handle for people listening.
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at AlexC_THW. You can just go to the Hockey Writers Devils page, and my articles will be there, as well as Christy Flannery and Matt Grizzell, who also cover the Devils there. And then if you subscribe to Earn Infernal Access, which is Todd Cordell's website, I usually contribute a couple, more than a couple articles a month, maybe three or four. So make sure you're following Infernal Access on Twitter as well. And if you're not subscribed, you should probably subscribe now with the draft and free agency coming up, because we're going to have plenty of content coming there as well.
And that'll do it, guys, for the latest return episode of Raising Hell in Jersey. We're hoping to have a couple more episodes leading up to the draft here in the next few weeks. And obviously, we will do a free agent frenzy preview and recap for the Devils and sort of the NHL in general. So with that, thanks for joining us. Thanks to Ryan from NJ.com and Alex from the Hockey Writers. And hope everyone has a great rest of the evening.